Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Roseanne Cash has reached a career milestone with her new album, The River and the Thread, debuted at number 11, becoming the highest charting album yet on the Billboard 200. The album, which has remained number one on the Americana chart for 5 weeks, started at number one in the folk album charts, number two on the top country albums, and number five in the top internet albums chart, which is one way of saying it is absolutely terrific. She will be performing many songs from that new album when she performs at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall tomorrow night at 7:30. Roseanne Cash, it's a benefit for the Capital Region Coalition to End Homelessness. It is no secret, I say it all the time, she is my favorite guest in this program, and it's a delight to have her back on the program. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Wow, that's very flattering. Thank you.
Well, I love having you here, and it's the new album is amazing. It's just beautiful and terrific. So talk to me about how it came to be, because there's a lot of traveling. There is a lot of place. It is very much a look at how places affect you, I think, is one way to sum it up.
Yeah, that's true. It began because John and I, my husband, co-writer, producer, were taking a lot of trips down south for various reasons. And even though I was born in Memphis, I grew up in Southern California. And I thought the South was, you know, like a footnote in my past, that it wasn't really part of my life anymore. I've lived in New York for 23 years. And when we got down there and started reconnecting with people I knew, places I had been, some places in the Delta I'd never been, which were really musically significant to us, our hearts just kind of cracked open to it. And John said to me on one of the first trips, he said, there's something here we could write about. And it started to form in our heads that we were going to write an album about the South. And not like a preachy, let's break the stereotypes of the South, but just pointing in the direction of the beauty and the music and the strangeness, you know, the very peculiarities of the South. And rivers, and you're right, a lot of geography and keeps showing up in it. Memphis shows up a lot because that's where I was born. I found there was resonance there, that something I thought was just in the past was still very alive.
Because it seems very much like a reconnection rather than a discovery, of discovering the South.
Yeah, I would say both. A discovery of a reconnection.
Right.
You know, home is a big concept, and I think you carry part of your home with you, you know, and I don't know. When you're in your 20s, you're trying to get away from everything and just find out who you aren't, you know, and you get to middle age and you want to know where you came from, where your people came from, what you're connected to, what's still alive in you. That's, I mean, and we're just talking about lyrics and the music. And John and I are both so deeply respectful and moved by the music from the Delta and Appalachia. And, you know, we just filtered, it's ingrained in us, and we filtered it through ourselves.
The first song on the album is A Feather's Not a Bird. And was that the first song to come? Because it seems to very much set the mood of the album.
It wasn't the first song we completed, but I had that, the chorus, A Feather's Not a Bird, for quite some time before we even began writing the rest of the record. But as soon as we finished it, we said, that's the opening track on the record. That lays out the landscape.
It's never stone is not a a mountain, but a river runs through.
And does that help define, when you have a song like that, to be able to find a theme and a beginning and a middle and an end and a little bit more of how that story as a whole, as an album, is going to be told?
It did. That song helped me visualize the map, you know, and it's a journey. She starts in Florence, Alabama, and ends up in Arkansas. And that's exactly what we did. We took one of those trips where we went to Florence, drove back through Mississippi on up to Arkansas. And what's interesting is that I have a friend in Florence, Alabama, and she, Natalie Channon, and she is a seamstress, and she sews these beautiful, beautiful clothes. And I went down to see her, and she taught me to sew. And she said this amazing thing. She was threading my needle, and she said, you know, you have to love the thread. And it just chilled me. And I thought about that line all the way through the trip. And then, of course, I put it in the song.
Mm. When you listen, there is such a, it came to me as almost a contentment.
Mm.
Did you feel that way?
I think when you fit another part of the puzzle of yourself together, you do feel content, or at least satisfied. And that's what I felt happened, both musically and lyrically. And John did too. You know, he'd always wanted to go down Highway 61. Highway 61 is mythic in the minds of musicians. And we did that. And it was just one of the most profound trips of our life. We went to Robert Johnson's grave, and we went to where Emmett Till was murdered and the Civil Rights Movement began. And we went to the Tallahatchie Bridge, you know, made famous in Ode to Billy Joe. So we had to actually get away to just start to process it enough to write about it.
And that process could be varied in length. There were some songs that took longer than others and had to gestate longer than others.
Absolutely. And we got towards the end of making the record, and John said, you know, we can't make a record about the South without having a gospel tune. But neither one of us is traditionally religious, so we wanted to write a gospel tune that appealed to everyone, you know, even agnostics, hopefully, that was just about that yearning. And that was the last piece that fit into the record. And I thought, okay, well, that last piece was hugely important, and now we've got the whole landscape.
Tell me a little bit about Modern Blue, which mixes both Memphis and Barcelona, about a trip to Barcelona.
I went to Barcelona on the midnight train. I walked the streets of Paris in the pouring rain. I flew across an island in the northern sea.
Well, you know, John and I are on the road, and we go a lot of places, and we were about to go to Barcelona, and I had the chorus written to Modern Blue, and then I started thinking, wow, have Barcelona and Memphis ever been in the same song? Has anyone ever mentioned them in the same song? And I was thinking, well, if anybody did, it was probably Dylan. And then I went through the verses of Boots of Spanish Leather in my mind to make sure he didn't put Memphis in there. And I thought, I am going to put Barcelona and Memphis together. You know, Memphis being the placeholder for going home.
There still is very much a personal connection in the album, but it is less, let's say, confessional than much of your work?
Yeah, that's right. And I have to give a lot of credit to John for that, because he kept pushing me away from confessional and from my own stories, even though they're certainly first-person songs on this record. There are more third-person tales, and that's what he kept pushing me towards, you know, write about other characters. And that was great. I at first I resisted it, and then once I got into it, it was a great process, including, and I think the most satisfying song, and partly for that reason it was about other people, was the Civil War ballad I wrote with John and my ex-husband, Rodney Crowell. It's called When the Master Calls the Roll.
Girl with hair of flaming red, seeking perfect lover, for to lie down on her feather bed, soft secrets to uncover. Must be gentle, must be strong, with disposition sunny, just as faithful as the day is long, and careful with his money. And so the open letter read, the newsboy did deliver. 3 months later, plans were made to wed down by the King James River. No.
And looking at the third person as opposed to the confessional, does it give you a freedom? Does it give you, because it seems to allow you to be what you are so much, and what so many of us are, and that's a storyteller.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had been trying for a long time to crack the code of how to move more out of myself and write more stories, you know, create characters or expand on characters I knew. And I was a little self-conscious at first, but, people love stories. We all love stories. And we can find ourselves in most stories, even things that we think or you would think are far outside of our experience. So I find people responding to that, you know. I talk a little bit about each song before we perform it, and people love the stories.
Roseanne Cash is our guest, and the new CD is The River and the Thread, and she'll be performing tomorrow night at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in Troy. When you think about this particular stage in your career and this album, because your voice is so beautiful on it, and it's so strong, and there's such a power, and knowing and having spoken to you about this before, about the problems that you've had with your voice, mm-hmm. and relatively recently, actually, is that something that shadows what you do at all, or that it plays into it, or do you try to put it completely aside?
Well, you touched a nerve there, because I am acutely aware that the human voice has a shelf life, and we don't really know how long it is. You know, there are people like Tony Bennett who still sound great, and then there are others who it starts deteriorating in their 50s. And I have had 2 bouts of polyps, which were very scary, and my voice is in good shape now, and I appreciate it more than ever because of that, and because I'm so aware that it doesn't last forever. So I'm trying to more and more just let go of the self-criticism that I think we all have about, you know, what we do, and just go into it, you know, just enjoy it.
Do you appreciate it in the sense when you listen back to it, do you hear it at a full power, or do you hear something there that is different?
Well, I'm very critical.
Yeah.
I mean, I know when we're recording and I listen back, you know, I know when I can do something better. I don't just slap down a vocal and then walk out and go shopping. There's work required, and I want to get it. You know, when you're recording, it's forever. So I spend some time getting it right.
And that shows in the recording, the time that you put in and the intensity, for want of a better term.
Yeah, it is an intense experience. And, you know, my concentration levels are good and I can focus for a long time, but they're nothing compared to John. It's kind of uncanny how he can focus on one track for 12 hours a day, days on end.
You've been married for 18 plus years?
Yeah, 18 years. Actually 19 next month. Wow.
19. So is that, I mean, it's a point where even at this stage in your marriage of understanding the work relationship and how, because you were talking earlier about him pushing you, of an understanding that you have of each other that helps in the musical journey, I assume.
Yeah. I mean, we've learned how to work together. In the beginning, it was fraught with, you know, hurt feelings and fights and taking everything personally. And we got past that. Once in a while, it still happens. But when we butt heads now, it's in the service of getting the song the best it can be, you know, lyrically or musically. And we understand each other, and we play to each other's strengths. He's good at very different things than I am good at. And we try to pull out each other's best selves. I mean, you know, that's marriage too, right? You try to pull out each other's best selves.
You did there was a Roseanne Cash residency at the Library of Congress. You mentioned Rodney Crowell and work on one particular song, but he was included in that concert.
He was. I did a 3-day residency, and the first night was my show, and we performed The River and the Thread in sequence with the band, and it was a really special night. The second night was a Songwriters in the Round show, and Rodney, Amy Helm, Corey Chisel, who's a really fine young artist, and John and me. And it was a Songwriters in the Round show, and we did some things together. We all, in fact, you know, Amy is Levon's daughter, and I'm sure you know that.
Right.
We all did The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. I just brought tears to my eyes. It was such a beautiful moment. But, you know, Rodney's my ex, and we get along. We've managed to be grown-ups through all of this.
And there's still a musical appreciation.
Of course. I think that's one reason we work through, you know, any acrimony we had early on, because musically we respect each other so much. You know, music is one of the greatest healing forces in the world. With me and John, if we're not getting along, if something's really difficult, we play music together and you see each other's best selves and you can't help but love each other for it.
And it helps, I assume, even with you figuring out musically what you're going to do next, in the sense that there is a process, and as you have matured as an artist, that it still comes naturally.
Yeah, it comes naturally, but not easily.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's
work.
It's work. You know, hopefully you achieve some level of mastery when you get middle-aged, but it doesn't mean you can, that it just flows out of your pen or your guitar easily. It is work. The thing is, you get more confident about it, right? You know what you're good at. You can go a little deeper into it.
And for you, of knowing what you're good at, is it the musicality, or is it now that the storytelling and songwriting and as happens as we get older, knowing who we are better?
Well, knowing who we are better, that's key. And, you know, and part of the process of this record was moving towards that. It's like fitting a puzzle together. The South is still alive in me. You know, I didn't really realize that. And I started feeling territorial about being from Memphis, you know, and the Cash is being from Arkansas and the music from the Delta. But as far as, you know, I use John's musicality a lot because he has a more complex ear than I do. I mean, I've written plenty of songs by myself with nice melodies, but he can go much further there. And on the other hand, I am lyrically more complex than he is. So, like I said, we can serve each other. And I think I've written a lot of prose in the last several years. I wrote my memoir, a lot of essays, mm-hmm. and I think it's helped my songwriting.
Is the South, has your relationship with it changed, or is it still a place that you like to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there?
I couldn't live there. I mean, I'm a New Yorker at heart, and it doesn't mean I don't have a deep love for the South, and I go back down there a lot. Sometimes love requires distance and perspective.
And allowing you to have a grounding.
Right.
And an appreciation.
Yeah, some couples do better when one's always on the road. not me and John. We're together more than any couple I know. But I do know couples where it only works if the other one's on the road.
And you'll be together tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. It's a benefit for the Capital Region Coalition to End Homelessness, which is a wonderful cause. And there are some tickets still available. Roseanne Cash, it is an absolute delight to speak to you as always. I thank you so much, and it'll be great to have you in town on Wednesday night.
Thanks, Joe. And I got to say, you know, the reputation of the Troy Music Hall has preceded us getting there. Everybody has told me how fantastic it is. So I'm really looking forward to getting there.
It's a gorgeous venue and perfect for, certainly for you. I thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joe. Always a pleasure.
A delight. The new CD is The River and the Thread. Roseanne Cash will be at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall tomorrow night at 7:30. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
I took the long way home just to end up in your arms. That's why I'm going down.